The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But now I'm joined in studio by Councillor Hazel Chu of the Green Party, of course, former Lord Mayor, and she is a member since 2019 and represents the Pembroke area. And she, of course, was a candidate in the general election. And the Greens have 7 out of 63 members of the City Council. And what we want to discuss today is, should we extend pedestrianisation? So we have it in certain areas, most famously Grafton Street and so on. And it does bring a vibrancy to the city. But would it cause disruption? The reason we're talking about this is that last Sunday, Parisians voted to pedestrianise 500 more streets in the city. And it's the latest in a green push by the mayor there, Anne Hidalgo, who's actually campaigning on this issue. So, while we have Hazel in studio, we're joined by a journalist, writer with Bloomberg City Lab, Fergus O'Sullivan, who's across the developments in Paris. Good morning, Fergus. What exactly has been the decisions taken in the capital of France?
Well, on Sunday, there was a, as you just said, there was a citywide referendum on whether or not to extend pedestrianisation, and voters have said that they are up for closing 500 more streets in the city to cars, and they will be that will be replaced with paving and planting, so trees, bushes, that kind of thing.
And was that a kind of a controversial debate? What was the turnout? Was there a clash of views?
Well, that's interesting, you said, because the turnout was tiny. It was 4%.
4%?
Yes, almost nothing, which shows that it isn't controversial now. But this is something that the city of Paris has been working on for years. They've already closed 300 streets in the last term. They've had this whole push for probably a decade or so now to reduce car traffic and to close the city centre to car traffic and to pedestrianise major parts of the city, put in more trees, more greenery. That has been controversial, but by this point, the battle has, as you see by that turnout, the battle's kind of been won with the voters.
And can you just give it a, because the key issue here is people will of course take public transport if it exists. Does it exist with the metro and so on?
Well, yes. I mean, it exists. Paris's public transport is exemplary. It's really, really comprehensive. But the thing about this is to remember that Paris, the whole city of Paris, has around 12 million people. The number of people that get to vote for the mayor is about 2.1 million people in the city centre. So the people that were going to be most against this, people who would like to commute by car, they don't necessarily get a vote in this because they live out beyond the city limits. So it's controversial with them, but they don't get to experience the pollution directly, so they don't get a vote. So, that's a big thing in Paris.
And Fergus, in a pedestrianised street, can a cyclist go on it? Or what impact does this have on cyclists?
Absolutely. Well, cyclists can go everywhere. They've really increased access to cyclists everywhere. One of the main streets east-west in Paris is called the Rue de Rivoli. It's almost, it's full of bikes now. It's much easier to get around by bike than it is in a car now. It actually gets a little bit complicated to drive around central Paris in a car, which is very much the point of this legislation.
And finally, Fergus, hand in hand with this is often restrictions on car parking. What's happening there?
Well, yes, that's a very good point. These 500 streets that are being pedestrianised, that would involve the removal of 10,000 car parking spaces. But bear in mind that the city is already committed between 2024 to 2034 to removing 60,000 parking spaces and replacing them with trees. So there is a concerted effort and a very open effort to make it harder to go into town so that people will use other ways of getting around.
All right, Fergus O'Sullivan giving us that update in relation to Paris pedestrianisation. He of Bloomberg City Lab. Welcome, Hazel, to the studio. So obviously, looking at Paris and looking at Dublin, what are you advocating?
Well, I actually spoke to Anne about this when I was in the Mansion House, because we talked about pedestrianisation during COVID. We talked about what we needed to do in the city. We talked about how to create a vibrant city, especially post-COVID. And we talked about climate concerns, because at the end of the day, there are climate targets to be met. There's a need to reduce pollutions in the city, but there's also a need to make the cities safe, Ivan, because we talk about Dublin at the moment and talk about how it's a capital that's not safe, that people don't want to go in. So why not turn it into something great? Why not build public realm space by pedestrianising across the board and reduce congestion going in? If you look at the Dublin Transport Plan that was introduced, there was huge criticism of it, but there was huge support. The Doctors for the Environment, Irish Cycling Campaigns, Commuter Coalition all came out. And what you had last summer was people insisting this thing to happen. And what happened when it did happen, 20% what commuters found was that there was a decrease of their journey time by 20%. So buses were able to get into the city centre. They weren't congested on the keys.
So what streets specifically, what streets do you think are suitable for pedestrianisation?
Well, under the Dublin Transport Plan, you will actually have College Green, you will have Parliament Street, you will have Custom House Quays. But if you look at St William Street, one of the closest ones to us here, it's part pedestrianised, but not really, because we are still at the mercy of car park owners in the city. And what I noticed in Fergus's article was there was a line from car park lobbyists claiming what Paris was doing was a gradual confiscation of urban space. When did urban space belong to cars, Ivan? Like, let me ask you, you're probably old enough to remember when space was for people, when space where you can let your children out onto the street and they can play there. It's not for cars. It's for people to go and walk around. So confiscation of urban space, absolutely, but back for the people.
Well, you are right. I'm very old, at 65.
I actually wasn't
around before there was cars, in fairness. But so you're saying some of the key areas, you're saying, what about Capel Street and Drury Street? Are they?
Capel Street is pedestrianised now.
Is it already?
It is. And I don't know, have you been down there recently?
Not lately.
They have increased seating, increased planting. It's actually a lot nicer. Now, there's still niggling problems, but from talking to the traders, people enjoy it, especially in weather like this, where you actually get to sit out.
Now, on the text line, please do 53106 or 1800... 106 on the WhatsApp line, this texter says, this is very different in Ireland, though, to Paris. They have a metro, and if you go into the city, there are thousands of mopeds, little three-wheeler bikes. Another person says, exemplary public transport in Paris, including excellent trains, metro and the likes. Meanwhile, in Dublin, we have none of these things. It's the cart before the horse, said Mick in Meath.
It doesn't have to be either or, Ivan. Everyone talks about a metro. Yeah. Build it. You have a government that's claiming just a couple of weeks ago that it's going to be too costly. You're going to either have to reduce the fares, or not reduce the fares, increase the fares that we had previously brought in reduction, or build the metro. It's not either or. The 23 billion that they're talking about the metro is worst case scenario. And if we built it 10 years ago, it would have been 3 billion. If you build it now, it will not be 23 billion. But people need to stop. People need to stop saying it's an either or scenario. This government needs to build the metro. We need to increase public transport, and we need to provide viable options, absolutely. But in the meantime, we also need to create better public realm and safer streets for everyone while doing it. And the increase in buses, you've seen the frequency and increase in buses in the last 5 years and the reduction in fares, it does work. So yes, public transport, increased public transport does work, but you don't have to have it first to make Dublin a better place.
All right, do send us your views. Michael in Cork says, Paris is a beautiful city with fantastic architecture, excellent public transport and safe cycle lanes. Whereas Dublin is a kip with no safe public transport. Please keep the text coming. My thanks to Fergus O'Sullivan previously and to Councillor Hazel Chu with the campaign to pedestrianise more of Dublin and to modernise the city. Thank you indeed for coming in and joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.